Good afternoon. We are back with 404 Cybersecurity Not Found with Neil and David. Today we're going to be talking about end-to-end encryption, if we need it, why we need it, as well as the NCA bust. So if you guys want to take it away.
Yeah, okay. So we have this issue, don't we, with certain teleconferencing, video conferencing companies claiming to be end-to-end encrypted when actually they're not. So the example of this would be Zoom prior to this month, where they were stating that they were end-to-end encrypted, but actually they weren't really end-to-end encrypted. So I think first off, let's quickly start with a definition of what end-to-end encrypted is. End-to-end encryption is when the communication between the parties is completely encrypted all of the time. So prior to July, we had Zoom that were claiming to be end-to-end encrypted, but they weren't really, because in reality, there's parts of that process, parts of that communication where the encryption broke down. So for example, when it was moving from one system or state to another, so the communication was encrypted from the source over to Zoom servers, where it was de-encrypted and then encrypted again, and then it went off to its final destination. So that's not end-to-end encryption. That's like semi-encrypted. So as a definition, what end-to-end encryption is when the encryption is applied all the way through the transmission from source to destination and vice versa. So in this case, we'd have a situation where the server, if we had end-to-end encryption, would offload the conversation. So it would set the conversation up, it would make introduce the parties, and then say, "Hey, there you go, off you go, you guys chat, totally encrypted between yourselves," and it would no longer sit in the middle of that conversation. And I think that's quite an interesting thing from a security perspective. You know, how comfortable do you feel with your communications going through a third party before they end up getting to the recipient? Would you be more comfortable if you knew your conversation was entirely encrypted just between you and the end user, the person you're talking to? I don't know. What do you feel about that, Neil?
Yeah. So I think I'm going to try and come at this from a different angle, right? Because I say we always go straight into security, don't we? And we feel strongly about security. It's our passion. And that's right. And I'm going to take a step back, right, and say, right, obviously encryption is great. It should be there. But if we try to be too secure initially, then systems will not be, they would not exist, would they? So if we would take the phone system, you know, the classic PSTN phone system, right? Again, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe the PSTN phone system is encrypted. So if I picked my landline, which I actually don't even have, but if I had a landline, I have the socket, but I don't have one. But if I had one and I picked up that phone, Dave, and I called you on your landline, our conversation is not even encrypted even encrypted on the wire, is it?
No, I've not really thought about that. You make a good point.
Yeah. And you know, you could argue, well, the, you know, BT and they own the infrastructure, and you'd have to go and get into a cabinet, and listen in. But I'm sure that's possible. Now, I know the internet makes things more ubiquitous and accessible, and we're always sort of talking conference calls and things like that. But it's amazing how legacy technologies sort of, you know, we forget about them sometimes. And we've had PSTN for, I can't even say how long, and no one's ever said, should we slap encryption on physical phones? I don't know, what do you want to call them? On physical phones, on classic phones, on analog phones, that's it. So, yeah, I'm not sure.
No, that's a good point, that. In fact, bizarrely, you know, people may even feel more comfortable. They think, do you know what? Well, I just phone them on the landline. And, you know, my wife, Ruth, used to work at the BT switchboard. Obviously, I'm going back a long, long time here. And obviously, she was in a situation where she could listen in on conversations if she wanted to. And nobody really thought anything of it, did they? It's quite bizarre. I mean, there was even a thing called, I don't know, like, because I'm old, I remember this, right? They used to have conversations. Sometimes you'd be talking to somebody, and all of a sudden you hear somebody else's telephone conversation. There would be some kind of bleed over. I don't know how it worked, right? But to the point where you could actually talk to the other person and you say, listen, can you hang up and phone back, please? Because, you know, you're interrupting our conversation. And then they would say, well, no, you need to hang up because you're interrupting our conversation. So you're right. The infrastructure was very flawed. But it's almost like because it's been around so long, we tend to trust it.
Yeah, and because I think if I think back to things I've seen, you know, the classic people, someone on a switchboard. I know it's many, many years ago, but you know, do it. You know, they would, you know, you'd ring an operator, wouldn't you, and they connect you, and just take that analogy into what you're just talking about. So don't get me wrong, if we could have a system that's end to end encrypted, you know, perfectly secure, I would love that. But in terms of like Zoom, Teams, all the video conferencing systems, what you're kind of saying is, well, it's encrypted from my computer to, say, Zoom servers or to Microsoft servers. And, yeah, the danger, I guess, is, yeah, if somebody at Microsoft or Zoom wants to, you know, use your data, or somebody hacks into Microsoft or Zoom and they can suddenly sort of man in the middle that information and listen to your calls. But, yeah, is that not the same, similar to somebody breaking into, say, BT's infrastructure and or a malicious staff member, malicious insider, trying to listen there? I don't know. Yeah, trying to not go too much, you know, security warrior and think about reality a little bit.
which is unusual for you. Let's be honest. That's not you.
Trying a new thing.
Well, we know it happens, don't we? We know that you know that you can't trust third parties. I mean, you don't know who it is that's operating that intermediary node that sits in between the two of you during a conversation. So, I mean, for example, you know, there's been instances where Wipro, you know, the support provider, the outsourced support for Microsoft, and they also do outsource support for TalkTalk, or at least they did. And we know that their employees have been subverted before and sold data on and stolen information from clients, or allegedly so. So bearing that in mind, I guess really the question is, it depends on what you're talking about and how badly you want to keep that a secret.
Yeah, and I think, well, this links to what we've spoken about. So one of the things that we think about when we're choosing what software to use to have calls and conduct our top business is, it's about the sensitivity of what you're talking about. You know, if somebody listens into my conversation where I'm complaining about the neighbor's cat shitting in my garden, I probably don't care so much. But if me and you are talking about vulnerabilities we found on somebody's system, we probably don't want anybody sort of earwigging and listening to what we're doing. So, I mean, we have, haven't we? We have played with Jitsi a little bit. Because that is end-to-end encrypted. And we've been considering rolling our own server there, haven't we? Because but for situations that would deem it necessary. Because whilst sort of Jitsi looks quite good, we found it's not as usable. And sometimes the quality, because of the encryption, I would presume, isn't as good. And it's a bit more challenging for sort of Joe user to get on and log on to it. Whereas with Teams and Zoom, the accessibility for maybe less technical users is much easier.
Yeah, well, the Jitsi thing, to be fair, I think that problem may be largely to do with the fact that when we played with it, we were using their public server.
Good point. Yeah, good. I mean, we just need the time to run. We do really want to deploy one, don't we? We need to put that back on the list.
Do you know what? We need to. I tell you what. We ought to do that. We ought to have a conversation about it on here, and we ought to do a blog article on it as well. See how well it works if we, to use your term, roll your own.
Server. Yeah, let's do it. But yeah, I think the balance, it's getting the balance right, isn't it? Is that we want security, we want things to be end to end encrypted, we'd like the privacy and security, but. But as you say, but it has to be usable. It has to. People have to be able to use it. They have to be able to make it work. Otherwise, you know, it's a useless technology if it's impossible to use.
Well, I mean, what's the point in having it end-to-end encrypted if the other person can't even understand what you're saying in the first place?
Exactly. Yeah. If it doesn't work, then we've got no reason to use it.
It's the ultimate encryption. if the other person can't understand what you're talking about, you know you're safe. That's so ridiculous. I've just met with silence.
We've reached a conversational cul-de-sac there.
I've started my second beer. That's what.
I'm jealous. I didn't go buy any.
I was just thinking about the whole encrypting like old school phones and things. I was just thinking about that because, I mean, what kind of lengths do you go to after encrypting something like an analog phone, like encrypting radio waves. Sorry, I was just thinking about
it. I think
all technologies, isn't it? Yeah.
I think it's probably, I mean, obviously it's possible to do encryption via old technology. You could just, you know, mess with the analog voice signal and decrypt to the internet. I'm sure a bit of Googling, you could find something that does that. But it is a good point. You know, we take encryption and security so seriously now, but we used to be in a point where it was impossible to do. But yeah, do you know what? Let's simplify it. It really is down to what you're talking about, isn't it? And whether you really want that to be secure.
I think we need to, but pushing companies like Zoom to be better is not a bad thing. Do you know what I mean? That's the point, is that there's an outcry. People want this. And then over time it becomes a thing. And when Zoom, you know, if they get their products right and it's end-to-end encrypted, that's going to put pressure on Teams. That's going to put pressure on, I've totally forgotten any others, but you know what I mean? Any other provider. Had a blank there, but yeah, it will push things.
Zoom?
Did I say Zoom? No, Zoom.
Teams, Zoom, yeah.
Yeah, it will push, put pressure on the other providers to raise the bar, really, won't it?
Yeah. I mean, particularly with, I mean, if you think about the kind of things that we talk about, you know, when we're talking about client security, I mean, it would be pretty devastating if we were talking about a vulnerability that a particular client had and somebody got access to that information and then used it against them. And how do we know, right? How do we know that these things aren't happening more often than we think? There's no way we'd find out, is there?
No, exactly. So, until a leak happens or somebody whistleblows or something comes later, yeah, you wouldn't know.
Yeah. So back to our original point, I think we need to get that roll-your-own Jitsi server sorted out. I mean, Zoom say they're offering end-to-end encryption now. I want to see it. I want to have a play with it. I want to work out whether that really is the case, because it's kind of hidden and masked and you don't really know what's going on. You only know what they tell you is going on. And that concerns me a little bit as well.
I mean, like, my issue with Zoom is the fact that they lied to us once before when they said, yeah, we're end-to-end encrypted. And everybody was like, yeah, okay, we trust you because, you know, people aren't, I guess, like most people aren't as well educated on things like encryption. So, I mean, people were like, okay, yeah, we'll trust you. And then it was only when people like us called them out and said, hey, this isn't end-to-end encrypted, when they were like, sorry, we're not. And it's like, what stops them from doing something like that again? So, I mean...
No, true. Yeah, this is how we define end-to-end encryption, and that, you know, are we talking about just an evolving change of definition rather than actually real end-to-end encryption being in place? I take your point. Yeah,
I do wonder who came out with that line though. Was it somebody who was put under pressure, didn't understand, and just said yes, or was it something more contrived and they thought about it and they said, we'll try and pull the wool over people's eyes? I do wonder which way it went. Was it just, you know, some person unfortunately under pressure, or was it an actual proper release where they came out and said, oh yeah, we've spoken with the technical team and they confirmed this? I would like to know which way it went.
Well, I suppose they could make an argument, couldn't they, and say, well, it is end-to-end encrypted. It's encrypted from your end to our end and then from our end again to the other person's end.
It has end-to-end
encryption rather than it is an end-to-end encrypted conversation. I guess it's just how you play with the words, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, as I say, like, if you're doing something like that, then what stops them from just kind of twisting the words all over again and saying, yeah, we're end-to-end encrypted now, just like we were a couple months back? I don't know.
It's politics.
Ugh.
Shall we gracefully traverse into the next topic then, which is essentially a very similar one to this one, which is so do we think then that if a communication is end-to-end encrypted, right, or we have some kind of, you know, theoretically secure application that allows encryption, and, you know, we've talked about the good reasons for wanting to encrypt data, which are, you know, to protect the confidentiality of our clients and our clients' data, which obviously is extremely important. What about situations where malicious parties are using encryption? So, you know, we're talking about scenarios where, I don't know, like Silk Road selling drugs using Tor and, you know, the Onion network there. And more recently, the bust that the NCA did on a bunch of, scumbags, really, who were selling firearms and drugs and other human trafficking even and other unmentionable activities via an encrypted system, and I forget the name of it now, that they were using. You know, is it legitimate, do we think, right? Do the ends justify the means for... And I wouldn't say the encryption's been cracked because I find that doubtful, but for some way of infiltrating a system to de-anonymize and get access to the data which those parties think is encrypted. Is that legit? Are we okay doing that?
I think a lot of people sort of look at it on context, right? Because in the past, many Home Secretaries have said, we need to backdoor encryption, we need to get into encryption. And such blanket statements scare people, scare me. They, you know, it's not good. And especially when a lot of the systems that talk about backdooring are systems that are used by bad people, but in a lot of the cases, they're used by what you call, you know, good people or people that aren't performing crimes and things. Whereas this case with the NCA just now was actually, from what I've read and understand, was a platform used entirely by criminals, because the idea that you would say, let's backdoor Tor so we can find the bad guys, the issue there is, well, lots of legitimate people use Tor and lots of people in oppressed regimes and people in trouble use Tor, so you're also going to put those people at risk. So that's where a lot of the sort of issues come, when somebody comes out and says we need to break encryption. Whereas with something like, I believe it was EncroChat that the NCA infiltrated, and I've not seen any specific details of how they did it, but I would imagine people are more on board with that because it took down a platform that was, from my understanding, just a crime, really, which did all the bad things that you've mentioned, Dave. So I think it's a bit more black and white for people when it comes to something like this, whereas when we go back to the whole Tor and other platforms like that, people get a little bit more concerned, or even just generally, you know, HTTPS and backdooring access to websites through ISPs and DNS and stuff, because people feel that could be used against the general populace even. Whereas, you know, most people will be like, well, I don't use EncroChat to sell my illegal drugs, you know, I'm okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point, isn't it? I mean, it's no secret, you know, to people that I work as a special with the NCA. I didn't know anything at all about this particular operation, though, Operation Venetic, and I would have been, I'd have been, you know, very, very interested to be involved in it, to be honest, but I wasn't called upon. So so hearing about it in the news is the first time I've heard about it as well. So I have no information that anybody else doesn't also have with access to the internet. But you know, 746 arrests, 54 million in criminal cash, 77 firearms, and over 2 tons of drugs seized. That's a massive win for the NCA. And obviously, is it?
I mean, it sounds like a typical weekend, doesn't it? Sorry, go on.
I've got nowhere to go with that. Nowhere to go with that. but yeah, no, I mean, obviously I'm an NCA special, so I very, very much support NCA's operations. And as far as I'm concerned, when I read that, it put a smile on my face. But I think it's fair to say, you know, I don't know much about EncroChat at all. I mean, is it just used for criminals and nothing else? Because that's where you know, we reach the point of it being a worthy debate. Because, all right, brilliant as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, we caught a bunch of bad guys, held them to account. That's awesome. However, I'm just putting the NCA to one side for a minute. Is that whole sort of process of hacking, for want of a better word, or infiltrating a platform which is theoretically secure, justifiable if bad guys are being caught? I mean, what, you know, if information is being, 'cause do you know what? what if perfectly legitimate information is also intercepted, you know, which you thought was being encrypted? Would you be okay? Would you think it was okay if your conversations had been intercepted and listened to? If the outcome of that was more bad guys being caught?
Yeah, that's the challenge, isn't it? It's the kind of giving up so much freedoms and rights and things to for the greater good in a sense. And so what would be an interesting sort of position would be if they said, look, well, look at what we've just done here by taking down this network. If you let us now intercept your WhatsApps, if you let us intercept all your, you know, all your end-to-end encrypted Jitsi messages and all that kind of stuff, if you let us do that, we'll bring crime down. And that's the platform, isn't it? We'll stop terrorist attacks, we'll stop all these bad things happening. And that's the problem, is that it's like it can be, they call it an erosion of privacy over time, isn't it? So you've got people on one side saying, no, we need to encrypt everything, keep everything secure, keep everything private. And on the other side, people saying, well, I need access to this information to catch bad guys. And ultimately, it comes down to trust, doesn't it? Because it's basically, do you trust that the government or any sort of law enforcement agency or any entity like that, given access to this data, would not misuse it either on a personal level, if there's an individual in there who wants to go rogue, or on a national level or an organizational level, that they would want to use it, you know, in ways that you never originally agreed to, you know, for, to go a bit sci-fi, like, you know, Minority Report. Well, Neil's been saying a lot of things about this recently, so maybe we should go have a chat to him. You know, I've not committed a crime, but yeah, I've been expressing my dissatisfaction of, you know, the current government and saying things and saying, well, we don't like what you're saying, Neil, so we'd like to have a little chat with you. You know, that's the weird and scary thing. I think I'm going to commit a crime, so they're going to try and nip it in the bud, so to speak.
Yeah, it's all getting a bit Cambridge Analytica, isn't it?
which happened, and this is what people will say.
I know.
Yeah, because
just to give a little bit of context to this, I've literally just while you were talking, Neil, opened up the Encro Chat website, encro.co.uk. And I have to say, to be honest, when you think about this, it's a great, you know, in some ways, it's not a bad advert for them. I don't know whether, do you remember that talk which Freaky Clown and Jessica Ennis did at SteelCon? You will do, because obviously you are co-creator of SteelCon. But they did a talk called Get Hacked. And their theory was, if you get hacked as an organization and hit the media all of a sudden find out about you. So even though it's a negative reason why you've hit the public's attention, the public always suddenly go, okay, so they're a thing. They've probably sorted it out now since then. and EncroChat, actually, unsurprisingly, it doesn't say on their website, ideal for your criminal activities.
Right? So, I see. You know, yeah. It's more of it's a secure platform and you can use it as you wish.
Yeah, and that's basically how they're selling it, right? So the bad guys all use this. So it's interesting, isn't it? It all depends on what spin you put out, right? So you could say EncroChat, a channel that's used by malicious parties, but is it used by nothing but malicious parties? I'd be really interested, actually, to hear if anybody wants to send me some comments on LinkedIn or get in touch with us about anybody who's using EncroChat for completely and totally legitimate purposes, because there must be many people out there that are. And that then leads us to the next part of the conversation, which is, you know, if you infiltrate an application or a system, you know, are there going to be innocent casualties in that?
Yeah. Well, you just could put a thought in my head. So if we're saying Zoom should be encrypted end to end, and then Zoom becomes end to end encrypted, and the Zoom people can't look at anything, then you're gonna also attract people who might want to conduct crime because they've got a nice platform there. So basically, if you make things really nice and secure and, you know, safe and private, then you're gonna create a platform that grows people that want to do maybe more illicit things.
I'd be fascinated to find out how they did this, you know. You know, like I say, I wasn't involved in it. And if I was, I wouldn't even be talking about it.
There'd be a knock on the door right now, I think.
No, I mean, I wouldn't be able to. There's just no chance.
They'll be dragging you out now, right now.
but I'm absolutely fascinated by this because, you know, on the features of EncroChat, I mean, it sounds like pretty much bulletproof. So it must be very interesting how they did that. But I don't know. They don't know how they did it. I'm not going to find out how they did it. But yeah, that is the wider question, isn't it? Whether we think, you know, do the ends justify the means?
That is a question that I think we're never going to answer.
Yeah, I'd really do like the idea of something being offloaded between two parties and there'd be no listening to in between. So basically you've got your end, the other person's end, the encryption's between the two of you, and nobody's sitting in between you. And
what are you hiding, Dave?
Yeah, well, I get your point. I know what you tried to do there. I know what you're trying to do there. But, you know, it's an old argument, isn't it?
No, just exactly.
Because you know, it's like, you know, maybe there has been an occasion or two where I've danced in the kitchen in my underwear. You know, just because I've done that, it doesn't mean I want everybody to see me doing it. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
exactly.
Just because you want to...
Yeah.
Just because I want to keep something private, it doesn't mean that it's malicious.
Yeah. I'm not going to... Yeah, but... I'm brain syncing things, but yeah, no, exactly. But that's the point, isn't it? That's what I go with. Is like, you know, well, I've got nothing to hide. It's like, well, take away your curtains, you know, pass me your phone, show me your messages, because privacy isn't just because you're hiding something illegal or nefarious. It's because, you know what, as humans, we value privacy. We want to have that sense, you know, the things that you're intimate, you know, in your house, whether it's sort of teddy bears that you have that you're a bit embarrassed about, or just, you know, you sit.
Oh,
like,
you have teddy bears. Neil has teddy bears, everybody, and he's embarrassed about
it. No, I'm going to take away my curtains so you can all see that. But isn't it? Like, if I want to sit in my pants watching my TV, I want to do that. I mean, I don't think my neighbours want to have to, you know, witness that. So it's, it's trying to get... Yeah, I don't really like the argument of if you've got nothing to hide, then show us everything. But I think, as you say, Dave, the problem is it's getting that balance right, isn't it?
Yeah, I do you know what? I've got splinters in my ass. I'm so far on the fence on this one, I'm afraid. it's like, do you know, I'm not going to lie. I saw that the NCAA caught all those guys. I thought that is just brilliant. But I do get the counter argument as well. So, you know, contentious. If anybody's got a view on it, I'd love to hear about it. Please get in touch with us via social media on LinkedIn or on Twitter. And I think that's about it, isn't it? We're just doing just a short one today, isn't it?
Short one today, yeah, exactly.
Because we've all had a crazy week.
Weekend, yeah.
An insane, crazy week. Just madness this week's been.
Ready for the weekend.
Right, okay. Well, I'll call it a day then. Yeah, is that it? Are we done? Are we finished? Are we going to say cheerio? Hopefully, Jack and Luke back next week. And we'll maybe do a little bit of a long one. All right, guys, take care.
Bye. See you guys next week.
Miss you. Bye.